that are, you see them every day in your life. Now, our ancestors recognized these life forces. They are not creator life forces. They sustain creation so that when you pause and you think about each one of them, your life depends on each one of them. And should any one of them disappear in your life, well, you and I would not be here. Agree?
Agree.
Okay. Then we have the creator. And so the creator, Amun or Atum, our ancestors called the creator by several names depending on where you are in Kemet. Anu is one of the names of the creator. Atum or Aten is one of the names. Or Amen, not Aten, but Amen. Excuse me. So we have two different domains. You have the cosmic order, and then you have the moral order. And we are responsible to maintaining both. Now, in your life, if you are living in accord with the cosmic order, that means that you are not doing anything to offend the environment, such as you're not polluting water, which means you would then not be offending the netter new. You're not cursing the sun. You're not setting things on fire that you shouldn't be. Then you're not cursing the netter raw. So that if you are living in accord with the environment and you're living a way of life with the environment, then you're in accord with the cosmic order. And moral order is based on being truthful. So we have the responsibility in the earthly domain of living with each other in a way that is considered to be life-creating and life-sustaining. So what you're doing is you're entering into relationships that are wholesome for whatever entity you're in a relationship with, whether it be your family, your spouse, or your what I call the your other siblings. Like we are, for example, we all come from the same creator. That is the deer, the insects, you know, that many of us don't care to be around, the birds. These animals and plants on this planet come from the same creator, from the same creative source that you and I come from. Therefore, they are our siblings. So we have a responsibility to live in accord with our siblings in a way that is life-creating, in a way that is life-sustaining, so that we're not doing harm on this planet. And being truthful in our relationships with the world in which we live. Therefore, if we're being truthful in the world in which we live, then we are living in accord with moral order. So therefore, if you're living in accord with moral order and cosmic order, then you have established what is considered to be Ma'at. Now, Ma'at is a netter who is the embodiment of truth, balance, and order. And, you know, and if you are not living in accord with cosmic order or moral order, then you're not being in accord with Ma'at. Okay? All right. Now, the faith when Asar introduced the what I call the agricultural-based part of our faith to our ancestors, the requirement was that we share abundance and prosperity with the rest of the world. So Asar is the embodiment of abundance and prosperity. This is the netter, like I said, that introduced agriculture that really changed the dynamics of the ancient world. Folks now had an abundance of food, and that abundance of food led to an abundance of all other things, abundance in time. We were able to spend more time now studying the world in which we live, so we learned a lot more, so we ended up with an abundance in education. We had more leisure, and that led to an abundance, an explosion in the human population. And so with this abundance, our ancestors not only developed the Kemetic society, but they also went abroad and shared that abundance with their relatives who migrated to different parts of the world. And so when we look at the societies of Suma, the Indus Society, the Shang Society of China, the older societies in ancient Europe, the societies in ancient America, the Olmec societies, those are all Kemetic societies. And I'll give you details on that if you ask me about that later. So at one point, these are societies where our people went about sharing their faith. Now, what did they share? They shared knowledge of abundance, and that is to our ancestors who outside of Kemet were hunter-gatherers and pastoralists. Our ancestors shared with them the knowledge of agriculture, and what that did is it transformed these societies to the extent now that these populations were able to generate a great volume of food, and of course it brought relief to their life, because if we spend any time looking at the society of hunter-gatherers in particular, many of our ancestors were really in a state of poverty in their particular environment. Some had some levels of were better off, but most were in a state of poverty. Our folks went around the planet sharing the knowledge of abundance and living towards the moral order of Asar. Now, and in order to actually live the faith of the society, it required that you do so through action. In other words, that being in accord or in communion with the Netaru required that you do your way of life. So it wasn't a thing of that you wished the way of life would happen for you, or that some entity would come and do the way of life for you. It required that you work at generating abundance and prosperity and sharing it with others, so that the way of life itself is a way of, it's about caring for not only yourself, but caring for others. And it also requires that others care for you, so that you have a system of reciprocity where each one is taking care of each other. So an example of how this worked. Take in the Kemetic society, in with the introduction of agriculture, you had folks who now are farmers, you have folks who are herders, and you had folks who were doing different jobs. Those who were doing farming, when they reap the produce from farming, that produce was stored in facilities that were accessed by the entire village. And the entire village was, you know, the product was shared with the entire village. So the food that was generated from cattle and other things were shared with the entire village. So you didn't have a system where you simply went to work for yourself and whatever you generated belonged to you. And therefore, you could have folks in poverty around you and not have responsibility. So, you know, again, everything was shared in... I want to say, in the communal sense of being. I said something about how our faith was organized now. How our faith was organized. So I'm going to share a little bit about and sort of going back again and just talking about how the society looked and how our folks operated within the society. So starting with the society, of course, you have the creator that created all of this creation that we see. The creator then created the elements, and that these are the Neter, Ra, Nu, Shu, Geb. These are the elements that sustain us, air, water, land, air, the cosmos. Now, these Neter sustain creation. And then they are called the higher order, or the higher Ianid. And then you have the Neter that govern human behavior. These are the earthly Neteru, and these are Asar, Aset, Heru, Maat, Tehuti, Set, and Heru. They govern human behavior. Within the societies that we have, of course, you had to have leadership. And so that leadership for us started with the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh is the embodiment of a Neter. He is not, the Pharaoh is a, you could say part human, but is also a Neter in the sense that the Pharaoh is the embodiment of Asar, which means then that the Pharaoh is the embodiment of moral law. So in the Kemetic society, the Pharaoh's word was law. Now, the Pharaoh isn't a dictator, but the Pharaoh And his particular function or her particular function, because there were several women that were pharaohs as well, in his or her particular function, their responsibility as the embodiment of Asar was to ensure the generation or the creation of abundance and prosperity for the society. The pharaoh also was considered to be the son of the sun, meaning that the pharaoh was the embodiment of the cosmic order also. And so it was the pharaoh's responsibility that to ensure that the society lived within the cosmic order, that the society was not, for example, wantonly killing animals, wantonly destroying anything that would be an offense to the creator and to creation. And then, of course, another element governing our society is that of the ancestors. Now, the ancestors play a role in our society as well. For example, some of you have heard of the deified ancestors Imhotep or the deified ancestor Nefertari, and there are other deified ancestors to whom our people did pay deference to for what they did while they were on the face of the earth, and of course what their spirit continued to do throughout, time immemorial. And then there are other leaders, such as Seba. These will be your spiritual guides and leaders, and they are Seba for different functions. You had Seba who governed the production of food. You had Seba who governed the society and the way that we did rituals and things of that sort. And then you had village chiefs who also were responsible for governing the moral, governing the moral aspect of our existence here. And then you, of course, community leaders and elders, and then it went on down the line. And then there's you and I in the society who also have a responsibility or have, in addition, our responsibility to be in accord with the moral order and the cosmic order, but to ensure that everyone else was as well. And we also had the responsibility of sharing the way of life, that is the abundance and prosperity with others as well. And then another aspect of our society is the coming life. And the coming life would be those yet unborn who actually are a part of this creation. And so even though we may not see them, we know that they are here. And we have the capability of communicating with them, and we have the responsibility. So this is a part of how our world is made up. In the daily life of our ancestors, the responsibility was, as I said, to work collectively to produce abundance and prosperity, and to share that prosperity. Our daily responsibility was to maintain moral order so that when you got up in the morning, one of the first things that you would do is that you would do a prayer of declaration. And in that declaration, you are declaring your commitment and your responsibility. You're accepting your responsibility, and you are acknowledging, the Netaru for giving you another day in life, and your responsibility to maintaining cosmic order. And I'll talk a little bit more about this as I go on. And then, of course, the responsibility of everyone was to enlarge the moral and cosmic domain. So our ancestors looked at, for example, chaos. Societies that were in turmoil, that were fighting over food and resources and all, our approach to those societies was to share abundance and prosperity with them as a way of, you can say civilizing, but as a way of remedying problems between different folks. So our folks understood that, rather than hoard and keep to ourselves and allow other people to be impoverished, that it was an offense against creation because, of course, creation or the creator created everything to enjoy an abundant and prosperous life. And so our responsibility was to share what we knew about abundance and prosperity with others. So, for example, the knowledge of agriculture, the science of metallurgy, you know, and other knowledge and skill, we took that around the world and shared with other people. Consequently, based on what we did, we enlarged the world of creation. We enlarged the cosmic domain, and we enlarged the moral domains. So based on what our ancestors did for themselves, the outcomes of living the way of life was that they were able to generate food in abundance. So when you look at Kemetic art, the different buildings and all, you notice that our ancestors, they're just multitudes of pictures or of drawings of folks engaged in producing food, because it was, you know, just one of the greatest things to have. Because when you look at yourself even today, if you do not have enough food and you're in poverty, you know you're not having the best life you can possibly have. An outcome was that they were able to create, based on sharing abundance and prosperity, communities that led to cities and led to towns. When our ancestors were hunter-gatherers, they could not, the lifestyle itself could not sustain large groups. And in order to have these large groups, we had to have prosperity and food. So agriculture enabled that. Through agriculture, we developed villages, and villages united. Those villages that united then became towns, and those towns then became a large empire. And just think of this. When we think of the Nile Valley civilization along the Nile River, 4,100 miles in length, we're talking about a society that from top to bottom was actually larger in terms of its length, not its width or its breadth, but in terms of its length, larger than going from Canada to Florida. The prosperity and abundance, as I indicated, resulted in an increase in knowledge, skills, and trades that led to commerce. So our folks were engaged with trade and commerce with each other around the world, so that when we look at the society of Kemet and the society of Sumer, those two societies were trading with each other. Here you had opportunities to, if you had skills in generating craft, that you could actually sell your wares, you know, not only within the society that you live, but to ship your wares to other societies and, you know, do trade among them. It fostered development, and the societies, of course, continued to grow and to expand, and that was an intention of the way of life, as well as it fostered cooperation, unity, and security among the aligned nations. And one of the things that I'm just so absolutely floored about in doing the research for my book was to find out that our ancestors were actually part of a shared faith. And what I mean by a shared faith is that the Kemetic faith extended beyond Kemet into Sumer, into the Indus civilization. It was a part of